Hello, didn't see you there. Where's Mando?
What happened?
Mando got rugged.
He's starting to show off with a rug.
Oh, he's here, but he's here only hearing a voice.
Just on his face. Yeah.
Oh. Oh wow. Okay, that's interesting. It's a new dynamic that I wasn't prepared for. Episode 34, Wrecked Radio. We have Alex Weiss today. We're getting him set up. Let's talk about our sponsor real quick, OSAP, before we get into the day.
Yeah. Hey, guys. As you know, this show is sponsored by Rollbit, one of the largest crypto casinos out there. You can do everything from sports betting, casino games, leverage trading, NFT trading, borrowing, lending, pretty much every single DGEN activity you can do on rollbit.com or rollbot.com, depending on your jurisdiction. As usual, we'll have two codes to give out. The first code is Weiss as nice 21. Weiss as nice 21. And I'm going to put that on the YouTube stream as well, so you guys can see what the code is. If you're listening on Spaces, feel free to check out the stream live on video as well. The YouTube link is pinned at the top of this space.
Yeah, perfect. There we go. I don't know. I mean, we got the Fed meeting today. I don't know. I mean, me and Mando were talking beforehand in OSF, and we think it'll be pretty chill. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, they must have just announced the rate decision, right? I guess it's probably...
No. It's in an hour, right? It's right when the show starts.
It's in half an hour. Half an hour of the rate decision.
It's in 1 hour, gents. I know you guys are from across the pond. It's at 2 p.m. Eastern.
He's right. It is.
Misinformation here.
isn't the rate decision done at 6:30?
No, it's at 2 p.m. Eastern, and then the conference call is at 2:30 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Fair enough.
So...
Again.
Yeah, I'll let that one slide because you're not from America anyway. So
we do this every week. We say we're not going to trade, and then we end up trading and lose money.
I think a hands off is probably the best way to act nowadays. It seems like things have been a little bit choppy, or the volatility has just sucked out of crypto, that's for sure. And then stocks are pretty much up only. I don't know. It should be. I think at the beginning of summer we said not to trade and take the summer off and go swimming and get a tan. I mean. Obviously, here we are.
Yeah, I just use it to build an increasingly dangerously big Pepe bag, and I think OSF's done the same, which I don't know if is a productive thing to do over the summer period.
Probably not. We should just not do anything, to be honest with you. It's frustrating. Markets are just frustrating now. Like, I'd rather just nuke so we have something to do than stay here, even though I'm long. Maybe that's too strong a comment.
What'd you say?
I said
he's just a masochist. He's like he loves.
I was like, well, I'd rather just nuke than just do this. At least it's something to do, right? It gets you moving and thinking and stuff. Now it's just fucking like come in every day and just nothing's going on.
I'd rather a nuke, obviously, but yeah, any volatility, I don't care, up, down, all around. I mean, just like Jesus Christ, it's been painful. I don't know. It's just like one order send it up, one order send it down. No one gives a fuck. Just everyone chopped to death. I don't know. That's welcome to summer. Shouldn't be trading.
Well,
maybe next year, next summer, we'll learn. We'll learn.
But why can't we get in equities? And it's happening right now this summer. Equities are seeing a slow grind higher. Why don't we get that in crypto? Like, why aren't we getting it in crypto right now?
I don't know. That seems like there's not a lot of money coming in, right? What are the inflows? Probably nothing.
Why is no one front running BlackRock?
Well, also, what? Do they have to buy it just because they did an ETF? I don't know about that. But also, equities, you see, they produce money, whereas Bitcoin and ETH don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you really asked the wrong person why crypto is not going higher, right?
I don't give a fuck if it goes up. I mean, but I think there's like reasons equities are going up, whereas crypto, it's just like liquidity game, tongue twister.
Yeah. No one wants to come and buy at year-to-date highs. Who's going to be the next greater fool?
They only want to buy Apple and Microsoft at year-to-date highs.
Yeah.
What about NFTs? I don't know what's going on there. Why don't you give an update there? Oh, it's up, Mando. You guys are the NFT guys.
I mean,
I dropped out of that game a long time ago.
Yeah, that was wise. Well, you know what? Generative art's actually been doing well. Like, Fidenza are still trading around 80 ETH. Remember Lost Robbies? They're still trading around, although the one didn't trade.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, some like 400, 500 grand trades in those. autoglyphs are trading. Punks are down to 50, but and to be honest, the rare ones have come off a lot there. But that seems to be where the activity is. That PFP stuff is just feels like it's a race to zero right now.
OSF is discreetly talking up his bags in this case.
Like, the Rick guys are pretty solid. OSF editions. Yeah, Rick guys have been good. Singles.
Saying how it is.
Yeah.
Just saying how it is.
You don't want to get involved in meme coins? You want to get involved? Meme coins?
Yeah. No, I would. I would get involved in meme coins. It's just like, I also want to be outside. I feel like you got to really kind of pay attention. I'm just like missing everything. And then it's late, or I think it's late. Like Unibot was obviously a good one. Rookie XBT we had on the show the other week. He put a hurting on that one, and he told me about it pretty early. And I mean, like, it's just hard for me to pull the trigger when I'm like not really paying attention. But there has been some super good meme coin plays for sure.
Yeah, Bitcoin, oh, Harry Potter,
Harry Potter, Obama, Sonic. Harry Potter,
Sonic. Yeah,
yeah. People are getting crazy out here. Well. So let's see let's bring Alex Weiss in and see what he has to say about what the current conditions are. And then we're going to talk to him about his whole experience, his past, his future, everything. So Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing, man. Good to see you.
Hey,
I mean,
you might got a cropped video. I don't know why it's got a time code. But...
Don't worry about it. All good. It'll keep us honest before the Fed meeting. We need to be off at 2 p.m. anyway. So yeah, dude, how are you? I mean, from what I think you said, this is your first interview, and like,
yeah, you know, I didn't do any interviews during the whole like bull market or whatever, but now that it's a bear market, you know, we have more time.
Right.
But
which is a bad thing.
So this is actually the first interview, ever that I've done.
That's sick. Well, we're honored you came on, man. Yeah. Thanks a lot for showing up.
Is that an FTX hoodie you were in there, Alex?
Yeah, I got the FTX hoodie.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Oh man. So you got any input on the current state of the market, or what are you doing currently? Like I don't know.
Obviously,
meme coins.
I mean, one of the things that's weird to me is it feels like the market participants are shrinking. Like I kind of feel like CT is shrinking. I'm like, where is everybody? You know, it's
I think they're running out of money, fam.
Right. And I, you know, this canary of because obviously on chain is quite popular now. Everyone's talking about on chain gems, you know, Thales or Lay Labs or whatever, random, even small hams or anything, right? And I kind of feel that's like a bad signal a bit. Like, of course you can make money in on chain, especially if you're diligent. Yeah. You know, it's a game of who has the information first. And if you're first and not last, but I don't know. Like people yeeting with a 5%, you know, on Uniswap, and I don't know. Like it kind of feels like almost like desperation, you know, a little bit. So it's like it is what it is. But yeah, like right now the meta is on chain a little bit, and people just chilling, you know, bear market. So
yeah, no.
I'm gonna move a phone.
Yeah, I think your phone's a little echoey.
No, maybe it's mine too. Let me toss it the fuck out of here. I'll wait till Alex comes back.
Okay. All
right, you got it?
Yeah.
So I was going to say, yeah, I think it is like a bad signal because liquidity and like big players and like firms, like trading firms aren't going to be going ham on chain and hams. No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly.
But like,
a lot of these things, like you invest 50K, you will... You'll slip at 5%, 10%. So,
yeah, like jump trading dropped out too. Like a lot of market makers have jumped out and dropped out. But I mean, people say the ETF and stuff will bring things back. I mean, I don't know. I don't think an ETF is like a holy grail, but what do I know?
I do think, I made the tweet before that the ETFs were like these front running events where you knew that a certain amount of bid was going to come in and you just bought before. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, I do think in general, like when people are like crypto Twitter has a tendency to be very extreme. Like, you know, is the meme, like it's so over. We're so back. We're really so fucking back.
You're looking at it.
So over.
Me.
Right. So
I
think, you know, if you just DC, you know, like I really believe over 10 years or something like that, like crypto's here to stay. So if you DCA in, or if you just ape in now or whatever, and you're really committed to holding a bag of majors, you know, not of hamster coin, but I think you would do well. So
yeah, I think I'd have to agree. Man, are you still here with us or no? I don't want to like.
I'm still here. I'm just, you know, I can't leave this.
Yeah, it sounds like you're actually in a bathroom this time.
You and OSF.
Yeah. Okay. You just chime in whenever you need to, but let's move on anyway. Since we talked about the present, let's talk about the past. So, how'd you get started in crypto? Like, you know, what did you do before crypto, before trading? Why don't you give a full little rundown about your history and your experience previously?
I mean, so I was always into math. And then I played poker a bit, but this was like the golden era of poker where, you know, if you clicked a button, you made money. Mm-hmm. I played Sit and Goes. And then I did software for, you know, 7 years or something like that. But during the time that I played poker, I already got exposed to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin was being used, you know, in 2013 in a very niche way to, you know, store money or move money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to, like, let's say you play poker in Europe or Macau or something, and you want to, you know, move money. You're not gonna carry money. You know, there's a $10,000 rule, yep, or whatever. So yeah, I was already exposed to it, and I saw Bitcoin at that time, and I bought a bag. You know, I believed in it. Maybe it was like a libertarian fantasy, but mm-hmm. but I believed in it, and then. Fast forward to 2020, I started to be interested in betting on Trump back when he won the first election. And back then, like, it was kind of strange to me because, you know, he was leading in every primary and stuff like that. But, you know, at the time that he was running in the primary, you could get like 10-1 on him being president. And then even like in the general, you would get like 4-1, 3-1. And so I loaded up on that and I won. And then FTX had Trump betting for the next cycle. So that was like the main venue. They actually did a lot of volume. That was the main venue. And so I used that platform to bet that. But then that exposed me to all these different other ideas, right? Like, oh, I could sell, you know, these Bitcoin Cash forks, Bitcoin Gold, or whatever. I could sell these forks and get extra Bitcoin. Oh, I can, you know, I can yield farm on SushiSwap, on MoonSwap, or whatever the names were. So I started getting more into the space, and that's when I started talking to GCR and other traders. I also posted my trades, and that got interest. So people would DM me or I'd DM them. But that was actually a really tough time. Like when I started trading, it wasn't fun because, you know, I was just doing this political trading or other, like, yeah, yield farms or something. I wasn't really like, getting into trading in general. And then, you know, I would see these chats of like, oh, like this shit coin, haha, it's going to go down. And then like, it went down and I'm like, maybe I should short that or something. Right. And then, I started my trading career on a big loss, but this was also during the time of COVID. So mm-hmm. in COVID, like I was alone and I was depressed and stuff like that because, like I was isolated for a long time. Like, I got stuck in Sydney, kind of alone, and then I had to go to Thailand. I have a Thai passport. And then, like, I got stuck in like the 14-day quarantines and like mm-hmm. all these things like that. That and combined with like Filecoin, I got squeezed and I lost a lot of money. So I shorted, let's say, maybe 200K notional of Filecoin at mm-hmm. like $30, and then I squeezed to like 200, mm-hmm. and I had like, you know, a lot of money for me on that website. So then I was forced to choose, like, okay, if this goes up a couple more ticks, then I'm going to bust my account. So I had to, you know, close at a mega loss, and I lost maybe 2 million on, on that, or 1 mil, I can't remember anymore, 1 or 2 million, let's say. But that was most of my stack, right? So I just thought like, oh, you know, I short this 200K and win 100K or something like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, like shorting Filecoin, and then instead you almost got run over. So and not only did that I get run over, I got run over by a pro, because, you know, they profiled me. Back then I was just clicking buttons on a browser. So I'd click buttons. Like, imagine this guy, you know, like sell the same amounts. They would profile that and be like, okay, this guy is a big target. Like, now let's squeeze. So I got squeezed by a pro, and then in that time I really had nothing better to do. So I started to like mega autism, look at the charts like 12 hours a day, looking for any kind of angles. And back then, especially, crypto was way less efficient. There was, remember, this is mid-2020 into 2021 and stuff like that. Crypto was like
golden. Really,
and so the first thing I found, because at that time I was on my screen 24/7. So I found like these liquidation Vs, like basically like people would get liquidated and it would show like the liquidation order, Boolean flag, like liquidation equals true or whatever. So it would go like this, and then when the liquidation stopped, then everyone would buy.
That's so nice.
So basically you sit there and then they're like, oh, liquidation stopped, buy.
Yeah. Right?
And you would just sit there like making money pressing buy. So I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, found this, and it started to hone my edge. And at this time I wasn't talking to anyone. I would use Twitter and make big tweets, but realistically, it was just me and the screens 12 plus hours a day. I would go downstairs, buy a sandwich or something, but pretty much I was just like trading, full trading on. I didn't have any other life except trading. So maybe like a few months later, the bull market started to heat up, right? So at that time when I started, Bitcoin was like 8,000, 10,000. And then by the end of the year, it broke 20K and went up, right? And you know, that's when Twitter started to, you know, I've gone through the ups and downs of Twitter, so I'm much better about it. But at the time, you know, it takes control of you in a way that, like, you know, you didn't expect. You just wake up one day and that's from this effect of like, you know, you make a bull post, you get 2,000 likes. You make a bear post, you get 2 likes. So then what are you gonna do, right? You just almost
like dopamine,
tails wagging the dog. You're now making bull posts, but then you're making bull posts so often, then you start longing. Like, even like you don't think it's a long, and then you're like, oh, like, yeah, let's long or whatever, right? So then it starts to warp your psychology, and it was, you know, it was a mess. And then at the time when, you know, by April the first nuke, it went from 60 to 40. Man, that's a whole another story. But maybe let's cut it off. I don't know if you.
Yeah, we'll separate and get into those other stories. Yeah, it seems like you had the classic degen path into crypto, poker, betting into crypto. We see a lot of that. I mean, I feel like mine was the same way, except I quit playing poker like right when crypto started being used as a payment, which cost me a lot of money, I would have to assume. So I didn't come back to it till a couple of years later. But while you're doing all this, I mean, you didn't have any trading experience. You're just self-taught, just coming in and just trying to find an edge.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like because I started on such a big loss. Like I lost like most of my stack at the beginning. So then I was like, man, like I gotta find a way to recover. You know, so I was like really motivated to, you know, even just get back what I lost.
Yeah,
so it's a good way to start, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's a good lesson to learn very early on. Like, fuck, like these guys screwed me, or these like the mistakes that I made. Do you think that taking that big loss on like day one or wherever, like right at the beginning, impacted the way that you traded immediately, or the way that you managed your risk immediately? Was that a good lesson to learn straight away, or were you just like, you know what, fuck it, it happened, then I'm just going to do it again?
You know, I mean, it's a mix of both. I do think that there's a sort of classic gamblers, like if you watch people play like blackjack and they lose, they will tend to martingale and chase losses, and then like get very, and end up very, so maybe they're betting, I don't know, $100 at the beginning or five or whatever. And then like by the end of it, they're betting 1K, 2K, 10K, right? Like they're betting many multiples of what they like kind of came in there to bet. So, you know, at the beginning, it was like, oh, okay, I'll you know, risk this much. And then suddenly, like, wow, my risk is, you know, five times bigger than I thought or whatever. But then, yeah, about lessons, I think I had those lessons deep down, but in the first, like the April blow up, the COVID blow, the famous picture, yeah, where I'm in the hospital bed, bro, I got COVID and I thought I was going to die. Like when I went to the hospital, like I was breathing 80, mm-hmm, and then like, I was, yeah, like, fuck, like I had already, because I heard people got ventilated and stuff. I you know, nowadays COVID is more like relaxed, but at the time, like it was kind of more new. And you know, a lot of people did die. So, you know, when I was breathing 80, I thought, man, they're going to fucking ventilate me like 50%. And then I'm going to die for like 50%. And like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like this is,
that's scary, man.
And then like, you know, so I was in ICU for a while. And then that was the time that also that like crypto nuke. So I had this like nuke on nuke. And I was just there. There was like a famous stream or something where I was like streaming, and I was just like degen long. But at that point, yeah, like the Twitter really morphed my psychology, where in the beginning I wanted EV, I wanted to win. But later on, like I would rather, you know, make a minus EV wager and have a big P&L and, yeah, flash that P&L, rather than actually being plus EV, you know? And
yeah,
that's something that took, you know, I took a break from, you know, this is about 2 years ago by now, but, you know, I took a break from Twitter. I started to use it less, you know, it came back. And so I kind of see it now more objectively, but, you know, at that time, you know, you really get sucked in, right? Like you make one post and everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah, ape season, let's go. Bulls are back or whatever, right? Like it was just like nonstop mania is the right word to use.
Yeah, it's like the social media dopamine hits that you were getting kind of just spiraled out of control once you're dialed in like that. Yes. I think, what about, I mean, like, can you talk a little bit about the longs you were making and then how it got to such large sizes? Because I think a lot of people are familiar with you,
yeah, like
massive size, you having massive P&Ls and growing this account to a pretty astronomical level.
I don't know, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just pure luck, but at the very beginning, like both when I blew up and at the very beginning, I was actually like pretty degen as fuck long. Yeah. But this is going to sound ridiculous to say now, but like maybe like 8x long or Bitcoin or something like this, back when it was like at 10K. But the thing is, it was pretty much up only. There was some pullbacks a little bit, but pretty much like crypto was just completely up only from mid 2020 on to, you know, mid 21. So, you know, I was quite long. And then, you know, it's kind of funny because I wrote a message and I posted the hash that was like, oh, by like March, I quit, because I kind of knew that like whatever bull mania was never going to be like up only forever. I knew there was some point where you're supposed to leave. And I, in November, I posted this message and I posted the hash of it. But then like by March or whatever, I forgot all about this, because back then I was, you know, studious. I would be at the screen all day. By March or something, you know, I was going out. I was like, you know, people invited me to go out as part. I would never be on my, you know, I'd flick, yeah, in along or whatever, and then like leave. I wasn't disciplined about it, and I didn't care. I had this mania, right? Like I had this like, and
I mean,
you know,
we just like super levered long, and you just ride the whole thing.
Yeah, because the thing is, it was up only every day, so you, yeah, never got checked, right? It was just like, okay, yeah, you're long, you won 5 million today, okay, cool, yeah, lots of more, right? Like, yeah, wow, you won 11 million. Wow, this is
let's great. Take a step back and talk like, about what kind of numbers you were long, like notional, how much, yeah, like, you're on, and
end,
like
at the end, like in April, like, blow up, I was probably like 400 million long or something like that.
Yeah,
it was like outrageous.
Yeah,
we were talking about it in a group chat. Like, there's a group chat, and
I remember.
And it was like, hey, like, watch out. Like, Sam might have to eat a big one. I'm like, what? Why? You know, isn't it all bad? It's like, no, bro, there's no, where's the backstop liquidity for 500 million or whatever? Like, no one's has it. Right?
How did FTX allow you to get so much? Like, did you multiply?
I never really discussed this that much. Maybe there was one time after FTX blew up that I discussed this, but I kind of had incentive not to discuss it because, but basically, like, when I blew up my account, I actually got saved, like, very big, like, many, like, large eight figures amount that I got saved, where, like, if it was on any other exchange, my account would be zero. Like, I got liquidated on that time, but because of the way that it was liquidated, like, so basically as it started falling, so, okay, just to back up a bit, I didn't just long the perp. I also longed the dated futures.
Okay.
And the reason was my thinking at the time, like, let's say in December 2022, was you would look at these dated futures, and let's say the price of Bitcoin was 10K, and they would have these futures like, okay, 1 year future, 10K, 800, so 8% premium. And I was thinking of that. I was like, how the fuck is it like only going to go up 8% over a year? Like, the EV is like 40% or whatever, right? So, and but then I was also thinking, if it goes up, like, there's a gamma, like the premium will go up as well. And sure enough, in like whatever it was, mid 2021, the premiums are like 40-50%, something insane like that. So I was like, not only are you like long Bitcoin, but you're long the premium. So I loaded up a lot of these like dated futures. But the thing is, these were extremely illiquid. So basically, like, at the time when Bitcoin was like 60K and going into 58 and stuff on April 18th, 2021, I knew Bitcoin, or I didn't know, but like, I'm like just trying to unload my risk, but I can't even, I don't even know how. So what I did was I just like slammed like, I don't know, 2,400 BTC perp short just to try to get anything going. And then what happened is when it nuked. So I don't know. Like, I mean, this is all speculation, but I think like how Alameda or FTX did it or whatever is they didn't do it like objectively the way you're supposed to do it. I think they just like took over your account. And this is what happened later with Luna. Maybe they blew up from this. I don't know 100%. I'm just kind of speculating. But basically, like, when I got liquidated, they sold the perp position, short position first, at like the pico bottom of it.
So
let's say I was like, for example, 2,000 BTC perp long, and then I went to negative 24, but I had all these other futures over like mega long. And then it hit the bottom, let's say 40K or whatever. And then all those perp is like more liquid. So it got liquidated fast, but all the dated futures like were so illiquid that even when it was like liquidating, it would just like basically froze. Like, there was no bid, no movement of that. And then, so then when it rebounded back up, like, actually, like, I was like, had mega plus. So I had like a really I'm sorry, I forget the numbers, but
no worries.
I had an extremely negative balance. I don't know, negative mid eight figures. I don't know what it is, but and then it would be like plus, you know, eight figures.
Because less of the illiquidity, right?
Yeah. Or something like this. And it was like such a, like, blessing or whatever. Like, I got saved. But then, like, I also thought the reason I got saved is for something like a little bit shady, maybe. Like, maybe they're not supposed to do this or do this that way or whatever. So, you know, like, usually I'm quite open. Like, I just like to say whatever. But a lot of people told me, like, bro, probably don't bring this up or whatever. Just be happy you got money back or whatever. That they, I don't know how their liquidation system works. You know, so it is what it is. You know, I got saved by Sam. Too big to fail.
Yeah, not many people did. A lot got killed by him. But, man, I mean, that's insane. Go ahead, Mano.
Why were you after all that, like, dust settled? So you still had...
I still had money, but okay. So then this is actually the part that... So usually when I tell the story, I tell it kind of abridged. Like, oh, I got liquidated and wrecked. But actually, that's not the whole story. the whole story is there was like a period of 6 months where I lost my mind.
Yeah.
Like, because the other thing is I was so desensitized to these kind of losses. So like, if I like, let's say, you know, let's say you have a lot of money, right? And okay, this is I don't know numbers, but let's just say some numbers. Okay. Let's say you have like 120 million and you lose 10 million. Yes, it's a loss, but it's like you'll survive.
Yes.
But if you have like 20 million and you lose 10 million, like you're like that's terrible, right? But because like I was so desensitized to these losses, I would just like randomly just like punt maybe like similar sizes or half sizes and not really like truly adjust to like the bankroll of it. And then also just like the way crypto Twitter flipped so absurdly, right? Like at the beginning, wow, you're a hero, you're a genius. Even like a pretty middle of the road people were like, wow, this guy is so great, such a genius, you know, all this shit. And then, you know, you punt, and then suddenly, wow, this is an idiot, is scammer, exit liquidity, all these things. I was just like, bro, I was long too.
Yeah.
Right. So and that is just like a you know, it can mess with people. It's really hard to explain until like you've been there or you've been a big account or something, relatively big account. So it's hard to explain to people. It's easy to be like, oh, just don't care what people think and stuff like that. But it's very hard of like, you know, you don't even read DMs. I don't even read DMs. And then like you have like 109 notifications. It's like, you fucking clown, scammer, haha, like turbo yeah. fuck or whatever, right? Like every day. And I, okay, like, and then like, I don't know. What I should have did was just take a walk for 3 months or whatever. But I didn't. I fired off a lot of bad trades and like, you know, chasing losses and stuff like that. And the psychology was bad. And so, you know, I lost a lot more during that kind of period where everyone was kind of bearish, but Bitcoin kind of held 30K and so on. So, you know, that was that. But yeah.
Yeah. You had like that psychological roller coaster where you are getting positive feedback from everyone when everything goes up and you're making
and then
money,
the negative, right?
So. Sensitized, then everything crashes and people get mad at certain things. And then all of a sudden you sort of turn into a villain by people to some people. And then you're dealing with your own mental loss of losing a lot of money and realizing that, yeah, it was a lot of money. And like you're still chasing the same sizes. So this is all the bottoming period. I guess how. Because, like, I mean, I've experienced this on a smaller scale myself, so I know what you're talking about, especially the trading size or side of it. So I'm thinking, like, I mean, viewers might experience at a smaller scale too, losing accounts and then keep chasing, and it's kind of like the blackjack thing you talked about, where you just want a martingale or you keep thinking that you should keep betting similar sizings. How did you end up slowing down, and you know, like, what have you been doing since, and how did you get back mentally through this? Because this is a hell of a toll. This is a hell of a ride you've taken.
Yeah, you know, that ride, I mean, the ride didn't in there, right? Like I was doing all right, like, you know, grinding different opportunities and stuff like that. And then I got turbo fucked on FTX again during FTX collapse, right? So you know, we're still out there grinding, right? But you know, how do you bounce back? You know, I do think it's really important to, like, you know what your edge is, all these things that people talk about, but it's more than risk management. It's risk management and edge. You know, a lot of times people talk about risk management, but bro, risk management when you're a fish, still fish. Right. But yeah, like, just, you kind of have to go against your instinct, right? Like, everyone has an instinct when it goes down to sell. Everyone has an instinct when it goes up to buy. Everyone has an instinct, you know, when they're losing to chase losses, when they're winning to try to like just like book a win, right? Instead of chasing wins, you should try to chase wins. You should try to book a fast loss, right? Yeah, it should be the opposite. But I don't know. I think you just learn, and you know, I also realize, like, it's not like I'm going anywhere, right? Like, you know, you're already in it. You already know about it. You already have the network and stuff like that. You know, you might as well, you know, be back in there. So, yeah, so it's, I just take it day by day.
Yeah, so you're able to adjust to the new reality then. And I mean, like, you got to stay in the game, right? So if people, if you bust all your bullets, then you're out of this game, and that's bad.
Could you like just quantify it slightly? Like where do you think you were at your peak, and like before FTX kind of went down, were you building back up to around that sort of level, or yeah, what sort of levels are we talking at?
So, like before April 18th, like that, let's say I had maybe 120 million and I lost like 100 million, something like this. And then I got grinded down on a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. And then I built back up some reasonably, but then like by the time FTX collapsed, like I got turbo fucked because I had pretty much all my money in FTX and I had income from FTX. Like I reflinked.
Right.
You know, I was one of the top earners of reflinks on FTX. So I had a lot of income and I had pretty much all my savings on it. So when FTX collapsed, I knew like when the withdrawal stopped, I knew it was game over. So rather than, I know claims sell for 30 cents, but at that time I was thinking in my head, like, this is going to be like Mt. Gox where they run the clock. It's going to take 10 years. I'd rather have 10% now and, you know, I can fight my way out rather than like, I'm waiting for this like mythical payout of 10, you know, it's 10 years. I'm 34 years old. I'm like 44 plus years old, like waiting for my check or whatever. So I was like, okay, just give me my 10%. Like, because people, you could sell balances OTC basically. So I was just like, okay, just give me my 10%. I'll fight it out like on the streets. So, so we're back, you know, it's funny, like life brings you into this position, but I really believe, you know, people talk about like blessing in disguise, right? Like, oh, like, you know, there's like a fable, like, oh, you got this blessing. Hey, don't be so sure. And it turns out to be like something bad. And then, oh, this thing bad happened to you. Oh, and I think like, you know, I wasn't really ready at that time to like psychologically about, you know, having this kind of money and stuff like that. And also like making money is fun. This is like what I enjoy. So, you know, it's also opportunity to get out there and, you know, grind it out kind of. But yeah, like making money is fun. So yeah, I think that's what it is. But yeah, like since the FTX collapse was probably a lot harder for me than the first one. But that first boom, by the way, there was another story about that, which is like when that hit happened, like, you know, like if someone gets shot with a gun and like they're in shock, but they're like, okay, I'm fine, like it's no problem, but they're actually in shock.
Yeah,
I had a shock period of like 4 days where people ask me, oh, yo, you fine, like, bro? Yeah, like it's a lot, like maybe you want to like talk or something. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. Like, you know, I take losses like this all the time. Like, like, yeah. And then 4 days later, I just like broke down. Like, oh.
Where do you think we are right now in the cycle that we've had that massive boom in 2021, 2022 was a shit year. We started this year, like, I guess in the green, like Bitcoin's up, what, 75% year to date or whatever, but where do you think we are in the cycle right now? Like, has the, do you think the rallies we've had have just been like bear market squeezes? Do you think we're at the start, at the turn of things changing? Like, where do you place us and what are the opportunities that you've identified here?
I always look for the retail tailwind. So I really believe retail is still like 2 years out minimum or something like this. Maybe it depends. Okay, obviously things can pick up or whatever, but retail is, you know, 1 year, 1.5 years, 2 years, 3 years. Yeah. So with that being said, like, you know, it's much better to buy coins with a tailwind of retail buying them as well. I mean, if you can. So, I mean, in terms of like majors, like Bitcoin and Ethereum, I think like, yeah, in general, like speaking in these like year timeframes, you want to be buying, you know, obviously if it dips, it's better to buy, you know, than now. So like, don't say like, oh, I said buy, and then it, you know, Bitcoin went to 25. You know, so what, right? But I think, yeah, just broadly speaking, it's good to buy. But I don't really see like a true bull market for years, unfortunately. Like every retail kind of normie that I know has absolutely no, and they've held Doge or, you know, like random, even like Cardano or whatever stuff. They have no interest in buying coins, even like Ethereum or whatever. Like they just like they don't have that interest. And I just don't see them coming back in for a while, you know?
Yeah. Do you think if you know, if BlackRock, Fidelity get their ETFs approved, and if the SEC fully lose their case against Ripple, like, do you think those are things, a potential catalyst that maybe change the winds a little bit for retail?
So okay, we gotta take them one at a time. The ETF, I think, is basically, I mean, I've already said it, which is like in both cases, the ETF date when it came out was the actual top. I think now even people are aware of that meta too much. It may even be like a few days before, a couple days before, just because people will just kind of like try to front run it a bit.
Yeah,
and then like about the Ripple case. I think the trend is just like fuck burgers. Like that's kind of like the trend. Like everyone is like, like what should we do? Okay, Americans aren't allowed, right? So, yeah. I think it's obviously bullish. You know, depending how it goes, but I mean, this case can take like, you know, more than a year to resolve anyway. So in terms of like, you know, over the next year, like it's not really on my radar. It's kind of like the Mt. Gox coins. Like people always talk about Mt. Gox coins, but until it's like really like close to imminent, it's kind of not on my radar because, you know, it can drag out for so many years longer than what you think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I guess the SEC Ripple's been going on for about 3 years now. I think that was a big win for them. But then to your point, the news is already out. So like there's an argument to say some of it, even if not all of it, is priced in. Same thing with the Bitcoin ETFs. Like people are aware of it. And, you know, I guess the hope is that once they're approved, it creates demand for Bitcoin. And if it goes really well, then maybe they do an ETH one. And you get like, you know, once you get BlackRock and Fido in, they're three of the largest asset managers in the world. They're just going to pump their bags as well, right? So you get this like institutional angle. But
did you guys get anyone contact you after the Ripple case? I had a friend, well, actually two friends who were like, yeah, is this crypto thing back? I've been reading it on the news, like, and then they ended up buying some like just the most terrible coins. But like,
no.
It did feel as though, did that happen with either of you?
No, my friends are dead. They've lost everything. They've lost it all.
KBM Sonny's disposition is normal.
No. Honestly, I want to go back talking about before and all that stuff. When you were long everything and like, you know, during that period, were you investing in anything else or was it mostly just all in on crypto?
Well, unfortunately, I got involved in, so, you know, like I was a pre-sale investor of Serum, right? Like I was a, I don't know, there's all these different bags. I forget right now. You know, obviously I bought Solana. I don't know, like all these like random Solana ecosystem stuff. But the thing is that,
you know, like I remember.
So actually that's another thing that I got screwed, right? Because I have all this like locked Serum. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's worth anything, but I got screwed on the Oxygen. So at the tip top of the bull market, I invested $4 million in Oxygen, and you're gonna laugh like,
well, I remember this story.
Scam,
I
mean, but there's a specific reason that I bought it, and the reason was Alameda has a bag. So it was like, if they bought at this price and I bought like a tick high or whatever, there's no way I'm losing money, like, in my mind. And to be fair, I think if FTX was alive, yes, there's no way that I would have lost money on that trade. But, you know, unfortunately it all blew up. And also I got pretty much the worst result and I did well, or I did okay, let's say. And the worst result was the guy took the $40 million that he raised and ran away. A complete scam. He didn't even pretend like it's not a scam. He just literally ran away.
Yeah.
So, and even in that case, somehow Oxy got propped up to a certain price where you know, all the insiders could dump or whatever.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was outrageous. But yeah, like I didn't make as many investments as I hope to. You know, it's really hard with the deal flow and stuff like that, especially in the bull market. There was a lot of people with money more than projects. And a lot of times you would get these, if you even got any allocation at all. But if you got the allocation, it was like, okay, the ticker is, you know, XYZ and the price is this. How much do you want to buy? By the way, like I'm leaving in 5 minutes. So like you write a number or I'm leaving. Right? Like, and it was like, people were like, hey, why don't you do due diligence? Or like, this is not how deals were done. Like yeah. it was literally like ICO style. Like, bro, like I got like 20 other people that want to buy right now. Like, you want to buy or not? Okay. It was crazy. And also just like, I was more like a fundamentals guy. Maybe that's bad, you know, in the world of trading, but I don't like to, yes, I did with Oxygen, but in general, I didn't like to invest in projects that like I didn't believe in. And I didn't really believe in pretty much, you know, 90% plus of the space. Like, I think there's some legitimate projects, like say Solend. Solend is a quite legitimate and good product, but like, you know, like pretty much most things, like, you know, were like some thin pretense to sell coin to distribute the coin and get rich and leave, right? Yeah. Whether there was games, it could have been NFTs, it could have been like some sort of DeFi clone or something like that. But it was basically like, it's like a more sophisticated version of what's going on with the like hamster racing like a week ago, where it's like, okay, they have hamster racing. That's a new meta. Okay, now I have like rock racing. Buy my rocks token. And it's almost like a thin pretense. Like no one really, or at least people smart enough, no one really actually thinks you're going to start racing rocks or whatever. It's just like a joke almost. But yeah, like this would exist for like DeFi or whatever other things where like they say this, or like, oh, we're making a game or we're making some product or whatever. And it was almost just like a thin pretense to sell tokens to then dump those tokens and then everyone would leave. And that's kind of, you know, already been played out now.
Yeah. Well, I want to step back to Oxygen too. I mean, you said you put $4 million in Oxygen. I also put some money in Oxygen. It was led by Alameda. It was some bullshit scam by the same dude who did Maps. Yeah. And they kind of like created these liquid full, like with coins with high FDV values and kept them liquid and sort of like kept a bid there so they could siphon off money essentially. For you to make a $4 million investment, that's obviously a massive fucking investment into a seed thing. You think like, was that at a point when you had lost some money and you were trying to degen it back, or like what would drive you to make that kind of thing? Just like to tail out Alameda? Like,
well,
you
this
said,
is like, you know, I had a considerable stack and I was like, what's the most that I can reasonably bet? And this sounds like kind of ridiculous now in hindsight, but the reason I was thinking that is like I thought like with Alameda, like I thought like there was almost no way Alameda would not make.
How
like,
did they know, give you a $4 million allocation? Who solicited you that? That seems like a fucking.
The thing was there was actually the opposite where it was like I was fishing, like I was like, you know, basically you would beg people for allocations, right?
Yeah.
Like this sounds stupid now because actually like I found out like the whole thing was kind of a scam. Like, right. You know, people got 10% commissions and all this shit, right? But you know, at that time, like all these like, you know, Sam coin, quote unquote scam coin were like sure money makers almost, right? Where it was like they had a playbook, right? Low FDV or high FDV, yeah. Low float. Playbook that they would run and market make in a certain way and all these things to basically it's because retail has no sense of proportion with the prices. So like whether something is 10 cents or $1, I mean, yes, there's unit bias, but just in general, like whether the market cap is like, you know, 100 million or 1 billion, they don't like they're not so sensitive to that the way a professional investor is. Mm-hmm. Or a trader or whatever, right? So basically like and they can exploit that where it's like they have all the supply and then they kind of like bang it out there at a very high inflated price, but then like yes, retail is going to buy it anyway. So yeah, like So I decided, okay, like what's the most, I actually got really screwed on that because I was the last on the ticket and I got,
yeah,
like I sent some messages and it was like, let's say it was 7 cents. I forget the numbers, but let's say 7 cents. And I was like, okay, I'll buy all of it. I was like, oh, let me get back to you. And then they just like ghost me for 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, I got it at 10 cents.
Like, yeah, it turned out to be a scam.
The fuck you asked me to buy. I say, okay, I buy all right now. Like, I don't need to see anything. Just let me sign. And I was like, and then just like ran away. And then, yeah. So, but yeah, you kind of had to take what you got, right? Like a lot of these allocations were just like, you know, almost like for sure money. Even I got a really bad result. It turned out to be a total scam or whatever. I still recovered like quite a lot of, I forget, but you know, maybe I only lost 30% or something like this, which is ridiculous. For, you know, you should lose 100%, but these token scams were so
they're terrible.
Well done, let's say, to make it hard to lose.
Yeah, for sure. What about, we talked about how you made these big bets, you're no stranger to big bets and big losses, and how you've kind of flattened the curve on this, the risk curve, you said. You think you're going to be able to, you know, stay like that, or will you try to chase the big high of like going huge again?
You know, I think it's a personality thing as well, because for me, I cannot be like, you know, like let's say like Warren Buffett drives a minivan or whatever. Okay, that's good for him. But for me, it's kind of like, what else is there to do in life? You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you're at this high point and you get an opportunity to do something amazing, like why not? Right. Like, so to that end, I think like I've always been again, like there's been so many points in my life where I've had, you know, my whole stack in play or most of it or whatever. Right. Like, and you know, maybe that's DGen or whatever, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's positives and negatives, right? But you know, there's great highs and stuff like that too. You know, I've lived a, you know, amazing experience, right? Where you know, I mean, to have that money in the first place is because I put my stack in and got paid, right? So, you know, every dollar that I have, more or less, I guess I did software too, but you know, pretty much all my money is from some form of trading on chain. I want to say gambling, but so you know it is what it is. You know, I think if I'm there, like, you know, I have more risk management now in terms of like, you know, I have priorities, right? Like, you know, I want to you know, I want to own some properties and stuff like that, but besides that, like, you know, if I have a big stack, like, yeah, I'm probably shooting a lot of it in, you know, especially if I think it's a good, but you know, I'm smarter now, because at the time that I was betting very big, it was really like skewed by Twitter psychology, but I don't have that anymore. Right. Like if I'm betting big, it's because I think it will go up, you know? Right. So, you know, I'm not afraid to bet big, I think, like, you know, that's what makes it fun, right? Like, and if you look at, like, you know, Kelly Criterion or whatever, stuff like that, actually, like, the optimal, like, wagering sizes is often, like, much bigger than, like, kind of risk-averse or like, normal kind of people would bet, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when you see certain opportunities, like, you're supposed to bet, like, half your stack or something, like, if it's, like, incredible opportunity or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I think that gives me the edge. I'm not afraid to bet. And you know, I do think that one day there will be a bull market again. You know, I kind of waffled on that point before, but now I'm kind of seeing it, because the fractal kind of played out. Like before, like, you know, 1 year ago, you didn't really know, like maybe it was all dead or whatever. But now the same kind of fractals are playing out, where like people have the same kind of mood and mentality and everyone's talking in the same way and stuff like that. And you just, you kind of see like, oh wow, like it really does cycle, even though you think like, why would it cycle? But yeah, I think it does cycle. And yeah, people are going to use crypto in the future. I don't think it's going to go away.
So,
I think
it's, with that being said, that you are willing to take risk and will take risks once they're there. So future Alex, he gets back up to 100 mil or something. Do you think you're going to take money off the table this time, or do you think you just keep pressing, or like what have you changed anything about that?
Here's the thing. Like my life is like legitimately no different. If I had extra 100 million, like I would live in a bigger house, but then the office of my house or whatever would pretty much be like this. And I'm here like all the time, right? So that being said, like, and I have no desire to like own a jet or whatever that you can do at a billion. Mm-hmm. So that being said, like, it's pretty easy for me to, you know, take care of my needs physically. So what else am I going to do with all this money? Right. So I think, yeah, like I'm going to be betting big and try to run it up. It's fun for me. It's like a game or whatever. You know, I'm not a politician, but I bet I could pass a bill. So,
Alex is still here. He's fucking not dead, and he's not going to quit. So, I mean, that's kind of I like that answer. But we kind of have to wrap it up. I mean, we're about to go over the Fed rate decisions, obviously.
Okay, yeah, I'll flick it in for that.
Yeah, but we still have one more question for you. We have a closing question. Then we have to do loot box spins from Rollbit. We're going to bring some people on stage. Firstly, the closing question is that we ask everyone every week is what's the advice not to get wrecked? I mean, maybe you have some, because I think you felt some pain in the past.
I think, the number one way people get wrecked is just when you're new to the game, you chase a loss. So you should try to have the opposite strategy of like have an asymmetric win, right? Like either have a big win or a small loss. But then the second thing is like, you know, have the edge. I mean, assuming you're trying to be a professional trader. I mean, if you're a gambler, then, you know, have fun, right? But as a pro trader, like really think like, where's your edge? Are you first or are you last? And you just have to hone your edge. I don't think there's any like one tip. I think it's just like a series of
experience. How do you hone the edge? I know that's kind of like
you just need to work it out yourself. There's no one can really like, you know, tell you everything, right? Like, you just have to work it out. But yeah, just find what you think is edge and hit it when you see it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. Can you stick around? I mean, that was a really fun interview. We'd definitely love to have you back someday and dig more into that.